Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello and welcome to Off the Beaten Track Podcast. I'm your host, I'm Stu Whiffin. It's another week, therefore it's another episode. Today's episode, I'm chatting to Tamsin Athwaite, and it's a wonderful chat. You're in for a real treat. Before we press play on the music chat, just a few thank yous. Big thanks to Scroobius Pip and everybody at the Distraction Pieces Network. And a massive thank you to 76 for producing this podcast. Also, if you like your podcasts and you want to know what other ones exist in the world and you want a heads up on some exciting new podcasts and such, then why not check out podbiblemag.com and have a look over there. And it's a one-stop shop for all things podcasting. And if it's your first time listening to Off the Beaten Track podcast and you like listening to creative people telling their stories and the records that have been important on their story, then why not have a look in the back catalogue. You can catch episodes from Amanda Abington, Maxine Peake, Michael Smiley, James Lavelle, Chic. The list goes on. Go and have a rummage in the archives, and I'm sure you'll find something that will tickle your fancy. Let's get back to today's episode. Please enjoy Off the Beaten Track with Tamsin Athwaite.
It's Off the Beaten Track Podcast on the Distraction Pieces Network. With me, Stu Whiffin.
Right, we are recording. Sitting opposite me today via the means of Zoom, Tamsin Athwaite. Hello.
Hello.
You all right?
Hi. Yeah, very good, thank you.
So we've had a brief chat talking about the life-changing wonder that has been Zoom over the last few months. And
Still can't get it.
Yeah, we're here now. We can see each other. We can hear each other. That's the main thing. Tamsin, before we mention records, how have you found the last, where are we now, nearly 5 months into lockdown? How have you found it as Tamsin, the mum and family person, and Tamsin, the creative?
I found the very beginning, the very first couple of weeks, extremely daunting. And I found homeschooling very daunting and all quite overwhelming, but really only for a couple of weeks. And then I was involved in this thing called Dumb Breeding, which we shot at home around our houses, that Julie Graham wrote. And then once I was being creative, it felt like I was being useful again.
Yeah.
And a few eye openers really about how on earth I've gone through life thinking that my job isn't that important and I'm not that, you know, I mean, it's just part of me. It doesn't define me. And a few things happened, a few pennies dropped over the, where I was like, God, do I need my job that much?
Yeah.
You know, does my work define me? Because you feel pretty, I'll tell you what it is. When you go onto a set or to a theatre, you feel quite appreciated because you've earned your place there.
Yeah.
Whether it's through an audition or, you know. And so there's something about feeling very appreciated at work.
Yeah.
It's not an adoring thing. It's about someone knowing your value. And of course, as a mum, your kids don't learn to appreciate you till later in life, really. So at home, not being a great homeschooler, not being on top of everything and that organised did make me feel pretty substandard, I should say. And then I just started to take it all in my stride. And the minute you stop trying, it all falls into place.
I totally agree, Tamsin. I think it is always that kind of initial, when this all happened, this was obviously uncharted waters for all of us. And I think it was just that initial knee-jerk of like, holy shit, what's happening to us? Do you know what I mean? And then, you know, a little bit of reflection. And then I think everything starts to just kind of settle in and you just kind of readapt. And I think that's when you sort of pick up your new pace in whatever that is.
Yeah. And I think that, did you feel like, I'm quite good at doing nothing normally. I don't need something to do. Yeah. I like having something to do, but I'm a good potterer.
Yeah.
I like to potter around the house, you know, clearing rooms out as we speak, you know. And so I don't know about you, but I rebelled against what I was meant to do, which was clean out cupboards and beat nesting. And I thought, no, I do that normally.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that now. I would do that in a normal day, so no. And I suppose it's that thing of being told what you should be doing. Like, I went very anti-fitness at the beginning, put on quite a bit of weight, and then sorted it out by the end and lost it all again.
Yeah. I kind of done all of that the other way round.
Did you?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not a potterer.
You did the fitness at the beginning?
Yeah, I went crazy on it. When you was allowed
out. All my mates did.
When you was allowed out once a day, I was like, oh, this is amazing. And because at the time, like, where I live, there's a few parks near me. And so it was really nice to go out. And as much as, you know, it was the horror of what was happening was responsible for this, there was no cars on the road, Tamsin. There was no aeroplanes in the sky. When it started, the weather was glorious.
Glorious.
Everyone was missing that human connection. So if I was out running and I saw someone walking the dog, everybody was saying, like, hello from however far away. And you know, everybody's being super friendly. And it just felt like the planet was resetting itself a little bit.
I know. And I
kind of like that. And
but
then, like quite a few people, I do all of that, but of an evening. Initially, it was still felt like kind of airport mode, like holiday mode. I was like, oh, I can have a beer now. You know, it's 7 o'clock. And then I started to think, hang on a minute.
We're on holiday.
I'm not on holiday. Like, you know, I'm in lockdown and I've probably had a beer for like every night for the last 3 weeks. It's like, I think I need to maybe stop that. And then I think that was my knee-jerk kind of reaction to it all. And then you just settle in. And it was this. It was the podcasting that really kind of got me focused again and got me connecting with people, because I run a nightclub. So that's one of the big things that I love doing is seeing hundreds of people every weekend.
How have you dealt with not having a nightclub?
It's been strange. It's Friday night and I should be going there this evening. I've been there every Friday and Saturday, Tamsin, for the last 28 years. And so it's been very strange that I've not actually stepped foot in there for nearly 5 months. So it's quite it's quite bizarre. But what's been quite interesting is the flip side of it is I've been doing this podcast for quite a few years now and I've spoke to loads of amazing people, but it's invariably meant I've had to try and arrange a time when these people are free to come to my studio, which is a lot more laborious than going, have you got 45 minutes on Zoom? And then that means that, and the downside of this means lots of creatives, whether they be musicians, you know, actors, producers, whatever, are at home, not working.
Yes.
So the little kind of silver lining for me as a podcaster is I'm now getting to speak to people that do have a bit more time, you know?
And also, haven't a lot of people found comfort in podcasts?
100%, you know.
It's been like a therapy for me, I feel like.
Definitely.
I feel like I've done one at least once a week.
Wonderful.
And, you know, at times you forget that you're talking to somebody that isn't a therapist.
Yeah.
Because it feels like, God, this has been like lockdown therapy for me, talking about all different things on podcasts, not like one subject of how you're getting on with lockdown.
Yeah.
Everything. And also, when I think when we come out of lockdown, I don't know about you, but I don't really want to be talking about lockdown or watching things about lockdown.
God, no. The news is not on in my house anymore.
Isn't it?
Oh, I can't deal with it because I know it's just half an hour of scaremongering and you know, unpleasantness and stuff that I'm not going to get anything positive from. So I think I'll leave that over there. You know, what will be will
be. And also, one little thing on the news, or you can be watching a program that freaks you out and scares you, and that thing can really ruin your whole day.
100%.
Like, I think it's hard work staying positive. You have to work at it.
Definitely.
But finding the things that keep you positive and working at that has been one of my little trials of lockdown. That I've, you know, I know yoga helps me. I know meditation helps me. I hate the fact that I don't naturally love exercise, but I like to do things where you suddenly you're looking and you've got done 10,000 steps and you haven't even noticed it because you're, you know. So I think staying positive is, it's for our mental health, it's actually our job. So if you turn the news on and that triggers you into some kind of dark space, which at the moment it's very easy to do.
100%.
Then just cut it out.
Yeah.
Cut whatever it is that's negative out.
Well, should we talk about the positives of music and nostalgia?
Music. Yeah.
Let's do that. Tamsin, what's the song with the greatest ever intro?
Wish You Were Here. Pink Floyd.
Oh, wonderful. I
used to listen to that because my parents had Dark Side of the Moon and Wish You Were Here, all of them, on vinyl.
Yeah.
And I used to listen to that all the time.
Yeah.
And then I remember being on a holiday when I was in my early 20s and rediscovering it and listening to it whilst in like Tenerife or Lanzarote or somewhere and looking up at the stars with my mates, listening to Wish You Were Here and Shine On You Crazy Diamonds. Just all of that, really.
They're beautiful records, absolutely beautiful records. And
they knew how to do an intro though, didn't they?
Yeah, and that's a really interesting one, Wish You Were Here, because it starts with that little kind of guitar line that's quite quiet, and then the lead guitar.
Yeah.
And it takes so long to build, and I like it when guests pick intros like that, because so many people will go something that's instantly like bang and you're in, whereas that's a really nice gradual
slow
kind of
burn.
Yeah. So you mentioned your parents had Floyd records and that. So growing up, was there records on at home a lot?
Yes. So at home there was a mixture of like Daryl Hall and John Oates, who I remember my parents going to see in concert. And they had a season ticket for the Rainbow in Finsbury Park, Seven Sisters. And it meant, I don't know what, they built a year's ticket. So they went to see everything. So my very first concert that I went to see, I was 9 and my dad couldn't go. So I went with my mum and it was ELO.
Wow.
And I remember being the only child there.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until much later in life that I rediscovered ELO.
Yeah.
But I think my parents had a lot of Hall and Oates and then a lot of like the Four Tops, Stevie Wonder and Marvin Gaye.
Yeah.
A lot of soul, a lot of Motown.
Yeah.
Dionne Warwick, Diana Ross, loads of Motown, really. And then the kind of rock was really Pink Floyd and Hall & Oates, if you can call it that.
That's a nice little array of music to get exposed to at a young age.
Yeah. I mean, I remember, and also I remember Elkie Brooks being a big favourite.
Yeah.
And Carole King and Joni Mitchell.
Yeah. Oh,
and now they're my favourites, Joni Mitchell, Carole King, all day long.
Yeah. Oh, beautiful. Beautiful records.
Yeah.
Was there any other intros that got considered before you settled on Floyd?
Yeah, I think I always go to In the Air Tonight, Phil Collins.
Yes, of course.
And I think it's because I've just rediscovered that recently because my daughter plays the drums and she's just had to give it up for a bit, mainly because of COVID, and she wants to get back into it. Yeah. When she heard the drums on that, I think it was kind of exposed again recently with something on two young guys. Yeah. I think they were hip-hop artists and That's they listened right. to it.
Yeah.
And they were just blown away by it. So we listened to it again because, and I think that came up as well because it was so fresh in my mind and the intro feels like it goes on until that drum riff.
Yeah.
It doesn't, because the song started.
Yeah.
You do feel like somewhere. Like,
it's all leading up to it, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's the payoff. When that comes, that is the payoff.
Yeah. Definitely.
Okay, so for track two, Tamsin, I'm going to ask you the first song you remember hearing that had an emotional impact on you.
Oh, gosh. First song that I remember hearing that had a, I mean, music makes me emotional, so... Mm-hmm. I would have thought that it could have been something like musical theatre.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I remember the first musical film I saw was West Side Story, and I was very young. And I remember hearing, like, Maria from West Side Story, and then later in life hearing a version that Marvin Gaye does of Maria, which barely anyone's heard. And I just found it on this CD, and that brought it all back again. And it sends shivers up my spine now. So I suppose Maria from West Side Story and then Marvin Gaye singing it as well.
Yeah. What would that emotion have been?
I don't know, but I think it's the story of Romeo and Juliet. So West Side Story is about the, two different sides of the track, two different groups, different sides of the track, falling in love. And I suppose it's that, and the fact that I came from an Italian family, and so it's a running gag because all our middle names are Maria.
Right.
And so, you know, Francesca Maria, Tamsin Maria, everyone's called Maria. And is it The Sopranos or one of those films that they talk about that in, that all the, like, everyone is called Tony or Maria.
Yeah.
And so it's quite similar in my family, but middle names.
Yeah.
My nan's Maria. And I think hearing Maria felt like, as a young kid, like it was somewhere written for you, you know?
So where was you as a young kid? Where was you born?
Born in Ilford in Essex.
Okay.
Brought up in Clay Hall. And then where were we? Mainly like all around Essex, Loughton, Woodford, around there, really. I didn't move to North London until, well, about the year 2000.
Right.
So 20 years now.
Yeah. Well, it's nice to have a fellow Essex person on the podcast.
Are you Essex?
Yeah.
Are you? You know, I feel bad, though, because I've never seen an episode of TOWIE.
Nor have I.
Haven't you?
No. I don't want to. I don't want Essex to be looked upon like that. I think, you know, Essex should be looked upon for some incredible creative geniuses, you know.
Yeah.
There's some amazing music and some amazing actors, you know, and producers and DJs that have all come out of Essex. And I think that's what we've
been
shining the light on.
And also, it has beautiful countryside.
It really does. Like that.
So, you know, it's not just what people, how you have this image in your head of what Essex is. And I don't know what TOWIE promotes, but I should imagine it's quite affluent.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I live very close to where that's filmed.
Do you? What, now?
Yeah, yeah.
Where do you live then?
So I live in a place called North Grays. And
Grays in Essex. Now, didn't there used to be a club there?
Yes.
Is that your club?
No.
What was the club in Grays called?
It was called Pizzazz.
Pizzazz. But I remember there was Zeros and Tots.
Right, so Tots shut at Christmas. Tots was in Southend.
This year?
Yeah, yeah.
What, it's been open all that time?
Yeah, and so my club is in between them. I've got the kind of alternative rock club. My club's called the Pink Toothbrush, and that's like that's in Rayleigh. That's in between. But yeah, and Zeros was by the airport in Southend. That shut probably 15 or more years ago.
Okay, but I remember it was a proper trip from Woodford
that is a mission.
Ilford to there to go to a club.
So Ilford would have been. I would get onto this, and I'm going to ask you about later anyway. But let's stay in the formative years, Tamsin.
Yeah.
And the song reminds you of your time at school.
Oh. The song that reminds me of my time at school is something we used to just do make-up dances to in the playground. Like, this is as a proper nipper.
Yeah.
And it will have been Bucks Fizz.
Yes.
Because Bucks Fizz, when they won the Eurovision, it was literally like the best thing that had ever happened to our country for a kid. And, you know, making your mind up with the skirts was something we would do in the playground. And there'll be a group of us in primary school and you know, we'd all, and people would, not you today, sorry, she can come in. Do you want her to have a go today? You know, and then we'd all be like, making your mind up, let's feed it up.
Still know the dance, didn't you?
And you got to slow it down. Yeah. And the skirts coming off.
Yeah.
You know, all of that was risque, and I just loved it. I really loved it. I loved the two boys and the two girls.
Yeah.
I mean, it was all very kind of sanitized, really, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Clinical. I mean, it was almost Rod, Jane and Freddie.
Completely. Yeah, completely. It was, you know, Rod, Jane, I mean, and Freddie with a little bit more lacquer. That's exactly what it was.
Yeah.
But it's so true. What you were saying, like, now, like, Eurovision, I guess in the last 5 years has kind of had a bit of a resurgence, and it's become a bit more of a, you know, people who have Eurovision parties and things like that.
Yeah.
But it was ridiculously uncool for years and years and years. But back then, like, as you said, when the Fizz won that, that was...
The Fizz. So good.
It was up there with Torvill and Dean winning, like, the Olympics, yes, wasn't it? It was such a moment.
It was a moment.
And
so Torvill and Dean and Bucks Fizz were huge.
Yeah, massively. And I think, like, I mean, as I'm trying to think, I'm 47, so I would have been probably about, I don't know, when did they win? 81, something like that? 81.
Yeah.
So I would have been 7 or 8, and I remember even then... Yeah. Having a huge crush on Cheryl Baker, just thinking.
Yeah, who didn't?
And thinking that the two fellas were so cool. I thought they had the best hair.
The striped jumpers.
Yeah.
I mean, they were a bit Bee Gees-y, weren't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
But that was all the fashion anyway. What was the other one? There was Cheryl, and the other one was called Jay.
Jay Aston.
Aston.
Mm.
She looked a bit saucy.
Yeah, yeah.
But she had something naughty about her.
Yeah,
right?
So I think Jay Aston was like was sort of out of your league, but Cheryl Baker, you would have seen her in Tesco's.
Yes, and she looked very, very approachable.
Definitely, definitely.
And like she'd be your mum's mate.
Yeah, exactly. I always sort of imagine like she'd be like an Avon lady on the side.
Yes, and as my mum was an Avon lady,
really. Is that still a thing? That was a massive thing.
You know what? It is still a thing because I think it was 2002, I was the face of Avon for 3 years.
Right.
Like the makeup and stuff.
Yeah.
When I came out of EastEnders, and it was a brilliant contract. We were like filming commercials in Capri and New York.
Wow.
Calendars. And it was a great gig. I loved it. And they loved the fact that my mum had been an Avon lady earlier in, because it still goes on. It still happens. I mean, Avon is still a thing. I don't know how much of a thing coming into everybody's houses with the stock is anymore.
Yeah.
I should imagine that's probably not done so much. But you can order it online.
Brilliant.
I don't work for them anymore.
So how did you find school, Tamsin? How was it?
Oh, well, I think I was quite a goody-two-shoes in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Till I got to my teens, and then I was pretty much a tearaway for a while until I found what I really wanted to do. So school as a kid was, I quite enjoyed it. I think I was a bit of a people pleaser.
Mm-hmm.
So I worked very well on praise, shall we say.
Yeah.
So, but it wasn't until I was a teenager and then having to do exams, and I'd found this amateur dramatic group which was taking up all my time, and there were boys in it as well, you know. So what goes hand in hand with that was, like, we're all rehearsing The Music Man with this amateur dramatic group called Stage Struck Youth Theatre.
Yeah.
And I'm 12 or 13 years old, but, you know, there's exams to be done at school, but I've got lines to learn. So it was a great distraction. And then I've got boys to see that were in the group.
Yeah.
You know, and I think I loved it.
Yeah.
But when people say, oh, school, best years of your life, nah, they're definitely not.
Yeah. So for somebody that, as you know, that was getting the early taste of acting, you know, which has obviously gone on to, you know, be a huge part of your life, like back then at school, did you like the attention, and was you confident?
Yeah, I mean, I liked it. I don't know if it was the attention. I liked the buzz.
Yeah.
Being on stage, the actual chemical serotonin buzz.
Yeah.
Of either standing on stage and watching somebody else be so brilliant that it's buzzing you.
Yeah.
Or you're in some kind of magical energy where you're all singing and dancing at the same time and there's nothing that beats that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and you learn it from stage. You learn it from theatre. You don't get that buzz when you start doing TV, I don't think.
Yeah.
So I think you fight, well, I mean, there are moments where you definitely do, but you when you train as an actor, you train in theatre. So that's the beginning, really.
Yeah.
So I suppose once I'd found this amateur dramatic group, I was in.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, this is what I want to do. So then my school years became like, to be honest, I never found out what I was the last year of O-levels, and we didn't get them sent to us. You went to the school to pick them up.
Yeah.
And I'd auditioned for drama schools and other schools, and I'd got into a few schools, and I had a choice. And then I auditioned for like a grant and I got a scholarship into the school from Essex County Council.
Right.
In the days of them paying for everything for you, which was just wonderful, which now they don't do. And I didn't go to the school to collect my results. I didn't even go.
Really?
Because I'd got into where I wanted to get into. My mum did tell me afterwards that I got 5 O-levels or 5 Bs. Or I remember there being a 5, but I was so uninterested.
Yeah.
Because I knew I'd got drama and I knew I'd got English. And they were the only two that I needed to do what I wanted to do. So I don't know what happened. I mean, I think I took 9. And I know I've got 5, but I don't know what happened with the others, if I failed or one of them I didn't turn up to or I went on the wrong day, because that's what happened. I basically found like theatre and then nothing else mattered. You know, I wasn't about to be anything but that after once I found theatre, really.
It's weird though, isn't it, that I guess to some people that might sound like bananas.
Big-headed.
But it's not, is it? It's if anything, it's you're focused. You know exactly what you want to do. You know you've got what you needed to facilitate what you wanted to do. And you know that's.
And also, I'm not scared of hard work. And I'd already done lots of like jobs. I worked down a market. I worked in a shoe shop. You know, and my dad used to rent videos out with a mobile video company, and I'd done the round for him. Many times I used to deliver leaflets. I wasn't scared. I just wanted to earn money and have independence.
Yeah.
The independence was massive. So, yeah, I think I was focused. Yeah, I was focused. But now with this lockdown, you know, I also am now quite focused on, because I love acting and it is a passion. But if you can't survive on with how irregular it is, because of COVID, I mean, mm-hmm. then what else could I do? And there are still lots of things that I want to do, but I certainly don't need O-levels for them.
Yeah. It is strange, Tamsin. It's like, you know, I've got my children are like 17 and just turned 16. So, that you know, thankfully they're either side of the exam thing that's just happened where, so many kids, you know, didn't get what they, you know, deserved.
Yeah.
And it is strange because my youngest one feels like she's so far behind and she's got her exams and like, you know, my wife's an accountant, so she's, you know, studious and he's like, you know, this, whereas I've always just kind of worked for myself, being very, you know, in creative fields where I'm of that mindset of, oh, look, fuck it, don't worry about it. Like, you know, you'll find your way. And it's like, but you're not meant to tell your kids that, are you? You can't tell your kids that. Like,
well, you want them to do well, but you don't want the anxiety that it could bring.
Exactly that.
I mean, I want my kids to do really well, but if they're under pressure and they're feeling anxious, and let's face it, there's enough angst in the world.
Totally.
For adults, and kids should be being kids. That's why my homeschooling went to pot. And I just said, you know, do what you can. Don't stress out. I'm not going to come out of this lockdown with some hideous mental, you know.
Completely.
So anyway.
Hello. I've interrupted the podcast again, haven't I? Sorry, it won't take a sec. All I want to say is the songs that we're talking about in this podcast, if we can't play them, it's just because of the regulations regarding playing licensed music and such. So if you want to hear the songs, just go over to Spotify and search Off the Beat and Track podcast, and you can listen to all the songs because I've put playlists up for each of these. If you can't find it on there, I'll send links on all the social media accompanying each episode. So you've just got to press that one button and you can go through and you can enjoy all the songs that our guest picks. Anyway, I'll shut up and get back to the podcast.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
See you on the other side. Tamsin, what was the first record you remember buying?
It was I'm in the Mood for Dancing by the Nolan Sisters. I remember that very clearly. And it was at our price in Barkingside.
Our price. It's I love hearing where people, because I generally, you know, ask people where they bought them. And just the places where people would have bought records back then, like, not just, you know, most people chime in with Woolies. You know, went to Woolworths, like that. But like, people forget that, like, Boots the Chemist sold records,
and
news agents would have like little carousels of records in it and things like that. And it was like
so weird when you think about it now.
Yeah.
It was our price, and HMV was much later, wasn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
So there was another one along with our price that was the record store to go to when something was coming out.
Right. So what did you? Where was this in Ilford?
Barkingside in Essex, yeah, Barkingside, Ilford, Essex. Just on the corner, big red front, opposite Rossi's Ice Cream. And I'll just never forget, like, by holding it like it's gold.
Yeah.
7-inch.
So
yeah.
Have you got to meet a Nolan in your time?
Oh, yeah.
Have you had the conversation?
I think I told Colin, because I know Colin because I've been on Loose Women loads of times, but when I was... One of my first West End jobs was in Greece, the musical at the Dominion Theatre.
Right.
With Craig McLaughlin.
Yeah.
Debbie Gibson. And Shane Ritchie.
Right, of course.
And Shane Ritchie was married to Colleen
at
the time.
Yeah.
So I saw a lot of her. So, yeah. And the Nolan Sisters were massive for me then. Five women all together with the Flicks.
Yeah.
I mean...
It was the hair, wasn't it? The flick.
Yeah. And you wanted the hair. And, I mean, it did... It wasn't a long-standing love affair with the Nolans for me. Mm. It was very much my first entry into buying my own records.
Yeah, I get that.
Because you're not going to buy what your parents had in their house.
Yeah.
So you're going to buy something different. And I think then as you grow up, you rediscover that your parents had much better taste than you when you were young.
Yes. The amount of times I thought my parents were so uncool, like as they'd be sitting there listening to like Motown compilations, and I'd be like,
yeah,
seriously, have you not heard Shut Up Your Face? It's amazing. And it's like, you know, fast forward 5 years, you think, all right.
I'm sure we all bought that.
Of course, of course.
Shut Up Your Face. So good.
So let's pick up on clubbing then for track five, Tamsin, and the song that soundtracked your time clubbing.
This is a hard one for me because Firestarter has always been massive for me. I mean, I know Liam anyway, and it was just huge. We used to sing it to my brother because he was obsessed with fire. I loved the actual song, but when I, there are different phases of my clubbing. I don't know about, you've probably got this too, but when I was doing musical theatre, a lot of musical theatre in town, I went through a phase of clubbing with all my gay friends, and it was gay clubs in town. Mm-hmm. So that period reminds me, like the song there is the dance mix of Mariah Carey's Dream Lover.
Yep.
So that for me, when you heard that come on, was just like, and we'd be in trade, which didn't open till 4 a.m.
Yes.
So we'd do two shows on a Saturday night. When we were doing Greece at the Dominion Theatre, everyone would go home for a disco nap, or and then you'd go out there at 4 a.m. And that was the song for those days.
Yeah.
But for my, what I call like my straight clubbing days,
yeah,
it was Firestarter.
Yeah. What a record.
I know.
And
just amazing. And it's got talents from Essex as well.
Oh, I was about to say, fiercely proud. They're homegrown heroes as well. And, yeah, just a insanely tragic loss to have lost Keith. It was like...
awful.
You know, and for someone that, you know, and for that band, and, you know, never overlook the genius that is Liam, and the fact that, you know, he got metal kids raving, he got ravers rocking. You know,
I know, you're so right.
Threw it all in the pot, you know, and just made this anarchic.
Even a bit of reggae in there at times.
Everything. Everything went in there. You know, you could tell his love of hip hop's there, and it just, this ridiculous
fusion,
noise.
Isn't it?
Like, it's incredible. Absolutely incredible.
There's never a time that I can, you know, I can put a Prodigy album on, and it's never not that right time, you know. Like, even though it's hardcore, it flips so much in one album.
Yeah, yeah.
That
and it,
yeah,
and it doesn't. Awful. It hasn't aged at all. Like, if you are, you know, it's just, that's very much the sort of music that gets played in my venue. And you put Firestarter on there, and it, and I'm not even going to try and think how old it is, 'cause it's going to make me feel old. But. Yeah. But it doesn't sound like it came out that long ago.
No,
it still sounds, it still stands shoulder to shoulder with,
yeah,
you know, huge
we'll
records
that are
coming
face
up. No, exactly, exactly. So, Tamsin, when you went clubbing, like, what did you want from clubbing?
The first, I remember, Ilford Palais used to have a thing on a Saturday afternoon from 4 till 7 where you could go between the ages of 13 and 18. So... mm-hmm. No alcohol was served, but that was my first experience of being able to dance in a club.
Yeah.
And so my thing was dancing. Mm. So I wanted to rock, not really necessarily rock out, but it's, yeah, physically to let go.
Yeah.
And so I knew I loved doing that between the ages of 12 and 18 when I'd go to Ilford Palais, and you knew that there was going to be a slow dance at the end, only ever one.
Yeah.
Slow dance was so that people would have a slow dance, and that was the sign that the Fat Palais was closing because it was getting ready for the proper rockers coming in, the proper clubbers at night on a Saturday. So I just remember having my first slow dance in there.
What was playing?
And my first, and it was To True by Spandau Ballet.
Of course it was.
And I told Martin Kemp that on the day he turned up at EastEnders. And I think I even had my first kiss to it. I think
oh,
it all
wonderful
went hand in hand. So Yeah, I remember that so vividly. I remember all of the, you know, hormonally, you're already like charged and your independence is like busting out of a cage. And then you're in a nightclub that is for adults, but you're a kid and it felt special.
Yeah.
So from a young age, I knew that I loved dance, going out and dancing.
Yeah.
And it's sadly now it feels like that might never happen.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, it will. It will come round in some strange form, I'm sure. It might take a little time, but yeah.
I think that, you know, when it even happens now, when if someone's birthday or you're out and you're clubbing or whatever, there will always be a ring and somebody pretending they can break dance in the middle.
Yep.
That will still happen at this age.
100%.
Pushing 50, I still try and break dance.
100%.
Head spin.
The room I'm in now, Tamsin, this is like a little bar that in my shed type thing. I reckon probably about, it was Christmas time. Pulled all the furniture out at about 3 o'clock in the morning. Obviously, very, very drunk, just so I had enough space to do a caterpillar. And it was like, could I do a caterpillar? Of course, I couldn't do a caterpillar. I'm 47. Like, literally, just done myself a right damage and like woke up the next day all sore, you know, kind of head shaken by the wife, just like, what was you doing? At the time, I thought I could nail it.
No, I know. The caterpillar actually.
It's an ambitious move.
And the windmill, the legs.
Oh, if someone can rip out a windmill, like they're owning the floor.
It was big time, wasn't it? What was it, breaking and popping?
Oh, yeah.
It was so massive. Going out and seeing someone like properly popping.
Yeah.
I mean, that was, it was an art form in a way. And so I loved clubbing and watching, like you come back buzzed up about the fact you've just seen someone. God, did you see that bloke, you know?
He done a head spin.
And I do often go to a fancy dress as one member of Run DMC and then, you know, try and pull out some moves.
It's a strong look, that. It's a strong look. Okay, let's bring you back to Essex, Tamsin. For track 6, a favourite song from an artist from your home county?
Breathe.
Oh, great tune. Absolutely great tune. So
I changed my mind a few times, but then I've highlighted Breathe.
So Have you seen The Prodigy live?
Oh, yeah. Ali Pally was the last time.
Oh, wow. Oh, so you've seen them quite recently then?
Yeah. And Isle of Wight. God, I've seen them loads of times. I feel like the last one was the one with the great bus on the stage.
Yeah.
That was the last time I saw them. It was probably my favourite. I think... Do you know when you feel like you haven't listened to an album enough but you're watching them live?
Yeah.
And it annoyed me. I was like, why haven't I done my research? Because I didn't know a couple of tunes and it really annoyed me. When I looked around, people were mouthing the words and I just felt a bit like, what, you've let yourself right down there.
I think like that the last Prodigy album I thought was just really special. I thought what it felt like it was a really nice nod to the kind of lots of the kind of sounds, not so much the beats, but the sounds are very much harking back to the kind of those early kind of hardcore and rave days of like, you know, 89, 90. And it felt like Liam was kind of, it felt like to me as a listener that he was kind of tipping his cap and acknowledging, you know, where they started and had kind of then dropped all of them sounds over these incredible beats that he creates and just made it sound really current and fresh. I thought it was an amazing album, that last Prodigy record.
I think that between them, when you see them live, that you're never disappointed.
Never.
And I saw Stevie Wonder live and I love him and I was so disappointed.
Yeah.
So I think you know with the Prodigy that you are literally... you're in for a proper treat.
It's a ride. It's an absolute ride. And, you know, I've seen, I can't even imagine how many thousands of bands I've seen over the years. Nothing has ever got close to being in a field in Chelmsford in 1998.
Yeah.
And watching them come home and headline just after Fat of the Land had come out. And I remember tapping my mate on the shoulder. They were playing Poison. And I was like, look at this. And however many thousands were just in unison bouncing. And it was like, this is a moment. This is like, it felt like they'd come back to their own back garden just to kind of go, right, this is where we're at now. And it was marvellous. It really was.
It's funny because I don't remember their rise. I just always remember them being there.
Yeah, yeah.
They've just always been there and always brilliant.
Yeah, and they always will be as well. I think they're ingrained now in club culture and in pop culture and as just this, you know, iconic band. And, you know, when people talk about, you know, Blur and Oasis in the mid-90s and you know, that whole Britpop thing, for me, I just think of just the iconic image of Keith. And just, you know, and seeing him running down that, you know, that train in the underground in the video at Firestarter, just thinking it was one of the most visceral, exciting things I'd ever seen. And, and that's without the music. Then once that drops, it's like, oh, my God. This,
I know. This,
but
I,
as you can tell, I'm a fan, so I can infuse about the Prodigy all day long. Tamsin, for your last track... you can use this as an opportunity to play DJ, and it's a song that many may not know that you want to hear.
It's a song that struck me, and I don't know how well it did, but I remember hearing it and thinking, this is really beautiful. And it's Tom Baxter, My Declaration. Mm-hmm. Don't know if you know it.
I do, yeah.
And... it was a time, I think, where I wasn't particularly happy. And it was one of those anthems that you listen to and cry.
Mm-hmm.
I love music is therapy, isn't it? It's like, and that you listen to different things at different times. And I think it's one of those songs that when people go, God, I really love that. And I go, wait till you hear this. Listen to this. So that, I mean, weird, isn't it? Because there are so many.
Are you one of them people, Tamsin, that if you're feeling low and you're having a blue day, do you go and reach for the best of Steps and go and like throw yourself around the front room or put on Bucks Fizz? Or do you think, right, okay, I'm gonna
sit with this.
I'm gonna embrace this, and I'm gonna, you know, I'm gonna acknowledge these emotions and listen to something that's gonna compliment.
Gonna bring them out a bit quicker.
Exactly that. Yeah.
Like fast track it.
Yeah, come on, let's get straight to the tears. Come on.
Yeah, let's get it all out now because you know at 7 I've got that.
Exactly.
It does. It actually depends at what stage in life I am, and at the moment I'm in quite a contented place. So I feel like I'm not scared of any of the emotions that come up. And when it comes up, sometimes I will listen to, sometimes I really just want to listen to Marvin Gaye.
Yeah. Yeah. That's my go-to.
Is it?
What's Going On album
What's
by Marvin
going on?
Gaye.
What's Going On? I've got the lyrics on a big poster in my bedroom wall.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, just unbelievable. That album's like, that's my go-to.
Yeah, it's just heaven, isn't it?
Yeah, really.
So
really
I think, I can always listen to Marvin and that groove and just, you know, sit with whatever mood I'm in. And then, I don't know, I suppose if you want to, like, if I want to dance about the kitchen with my kids, you know, we'll do anything from Katy Perry to God knows what, you know, something that the three of us can have a proper boogie to.
Yeah.
Raw.
Yeah.
You know? So, the spectrum, I mean, there's such a plethora of different styles that happen in our house.
Yeah. It's the best way, though.
Yeah. And just lately I've been listening to a lot of, like, chill, smooth chill.
Right.
Which makes you feel like you're in Ibiza in the 90s, you know.
It's worse places to be.
Yeah. And I'm not sure why that's been a go-to.
Yes.
But then the other go-to for us is Classic FM.
Yeah, that'd do
it. And that does make me feel like, I think I'm getting a bit old, but even my bloke who's much younger than me, he'll put it on.
Yeah.
And we'll have the whole day pottering, doing bits, working, doing whatever. And you realise you're in a really calm place. Yeah,
definitely.
And a lot of that is to do with the music that you let into your life, I think.
100%. Couldn't agree more. So as we find ourselves following that little light at the end of the tunnel and finding our way out of lockdown, what are you looking forward to and what's coming up?
What I'm looking forward to is being able to go to the theatre again.
Yeah. Because am I right in saying my wife went to London at the weekend and walked past a theatre and there was a picture of you outside it. So should you have been on stage right now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the Playhouse Theatre, we were doing The Seagull, and all my stuff's still in the dressing room. I still haven't been to pick it up. And it was Amelia Clarke playing the lead, Nina, and, you know, it was Chekhov done in modern day. And we'd done 5 previews. All our dressing room was all set out.
Only we done the previews and then...
5 previews. Oh, we were coming up to press night on the Thursday. Yeah. And on the Monday 16th, we were shut down because everything just went suddenly.
Oh, no.
And it was really sudden, although there was a big build and then Broadway stopped.
Yeah.
So I think if we go back, and we will go back at some point, it's just Amelia's committed to it. So we are waiting to hear. And when we find out about that, that's something I'm really looking forward to.
Yeah.
And I'm doing a lovely part in a BBC One 4-parter. And so I'm just on the brink at the moment of going in next week to have the COVID test and the makeup test. And I don't believe anything till I'm actually there on the set at the moment. So so I'm looking forward to doing that, yeah. And I suppose I'm looking forward to being able to go to a venue again and hearing someone sing.
Yeah.
Watching some theatre. I mean, I think a shared experience.
Definitely.
Now, after this, with many people, is going to be a very emotional thing.
Definitely. Definitely. Tamsin, it's been an absolute joy talking records with you. Thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you.
And I wish you all the best when we come out of this and you can get back on stage and do what you do best.
Thank you so much.
Thanks loads, Tamsin. There you have it. Wonderful episode. Tamsin was an absolute joy to chat to, and I hope you got as much joy listening to that as I did having that chat. Thanks once again to Tamsin for giving up her time to chat records with me. Mentioned at the beginning, so I'll just give you another quick nudge. If you enjoyed that, then go and have a look in the archives, because there's over 170 episodes of chat with some amazing creative people, whether they be actors, producers, DJs, comedians, everything in the creative field. I've spoke to them all, so go and have a rummage and find the one that you want to listen to, and better still, subscribe. That really helps. Subscribe to this podcast and it just pops up each week on your listening device without having to worry about anything. I'm back next time. Have a lovely week. Thanks again for listening, and be excellent to each other, and see you soon. Bye bye. I've got an announcement. Save Our Souls Clothing, www.sosclothing.co.uk. Why am I telling you this? Because they're our official sponsor. Yeah, that's right. Go and check them out, because their clothing is off the scale. You're going to love it. So they've decided they want to be our sponsor, which is amazing. And what I have to do is I have to tell you about why they're amazing. So here's a little bit of blurb. So they've only been going a year. And they're based in Southend-on-Sea, just up the road from me. They put the company together based on a love of tattoos and alternative music. And they've worked with some of the greatest artists around the world to produce these items of clothing that are as unique as you lot. All the designs are printed using biodegradable, sustainable and water-based inks. In addition to that, they only print on garments made by members of Fair Wear Foundation. I mean, come on, great clothing and a conscience. Since going live in April last year, they've seen their audience grow massively and are now selling orders all across the world. And they were recognised by Cosmopolitan magazine as one of the best sustainable clothing brands, alongside names such as Stella McCartney. I mean, that's quite a first year, right? So go and check them out, because they've put a lot of love into supporting this podcast and I couldn't be happier. What else they've done is they've given you 15% off. So if you head over to www.sosclothing.co.uk, do a bit of shopping, see what you like, throw it in the basket, and then on the way out, put in the discount code BEAT15. BEAT15, and that'll save you 15% off. Amazing, right? www.sosclothing.co.uk. Official sponsors of Off the Beaten Track podcast.
It's Off the Beaten Track podcast on the Distraction Pieces Network. With me, Stu Whiffin.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.